الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، الاستقرار أهميته وأسبابه. Istiqrar can be translated in a number of ways, but depending on the context, it seems that the general translation is stability, because we want to make a distinction between amn, security, and istiqrar, because they may seem synonymous in some occasions. So, wallahu a'lam, al-istiqrar, stability. Ahamiyatuhu wa asbabuhu, its importance and the reasons behind or the means to achieve it. The Shaykh began his khutbah by indicating that among the most important aspects of a sound and healthy livelihood, wherein people are able to benefit, prosper, and grow, is stability. In its various kinds, in all fields, particularly political and economical stability. Particularly economical, political and economical stability. And because these two, whenever there's instability, which is the opposite of stability, then people are unable to lead a normal life. This is why you find often in the political discussions, people often speak about stability. You know, this country is stable, this country is unstable, and what have you. And this is something which textual evidences affirm, historical facts affirm, and everything in this life affirms that this is the fact. The countries in which stability exists, the people prefer and choose to live in these countries, remain in them. And they spend all things, no matter how valuable they are, in order to get in return a sense of stability, tranquility, peace of mind, relaxation. In fact, Allah Azza wa Jal made this one of the virtues or one of the specialties of Jannah. That Jannah, one of the characteristics which makes the Muslim or the believer looks forward to remaining or entering Jannah, is istiqrar. Being permanently stable there and not being taken out at any point in time. And the ayah in Surah Al-Furqan, Allah says, أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ يَوْمَ أَذٍ خَيْرٌ مُسْتَقَرًّا وَأَحْسَنُ مَقِيلًا. Here's the term here, the shahid. The أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ, the companions of paradise, the people of paradise. يَوْمَ أَذٍ, on that day, the day where the people of Jannah will go to Jannah and the people of Jannah will go to Jahannam, خَيْرٌ مُسْتَقَرًّا, have a better stability and permanent residence. وَأَحْسَنُ مَقِيلًا from قول, and their statement will be better than the people of Jahannam. Because the people of Jahannam, دَعَوْ ثُبُورًا, they will call upon destruction upon themselves. لَا تَدْعُوا الْيَوْمَ ثُبُورًا وَاحِدًا وَدْعُوا ثُبُورًا كَثِيرًا. So the people of Jahannam will be calling and making dua for their destruction. ويقول الكافر يا ليتني كنت what ترابا. The people of Jannah will have another statement, أحسن مقيلة, something good to say. نسأل الله العافية. In another ayah, Allah said, خالدين فيها حسنت مستقرا ومقاما. They will remain therein permanently, eternally. What an excellent abode and a place of residence Jannah would be for their believers. So the istiqrar of the people of Jannah is one of the things which Allah encouraged the believers to look forward to. And in return, He promised them that they should not fear that they will be ever taken out. لا يمسهم فيها نصب وما هم منها بمخرجين. No fatigue will afflict them in Jannah, nor will they ever be taken out. That's the element here. Now, the countries, all the countries which lack stability, all countries which lack stability, people run away from it. And they're willing to abandon their wealth, their family members, their residences, their cars, their property, they will leave everything behind, knowing that they may never get it again, and go and live as refugees in a foreign country just because they lack stability in their homeland. And this is the biggest example about the importance, or the biggest evidence for the importance of stability. So the Shaykh said the whole dunya becomes worthless if one is unable to have stability in the place where he resides. And he asked, he said, in the world right now there are tens of billions or tens of millions of people who are refugees, who are living in foreign countries because they cannot go back home. Ask them, would you like to return? And they would definitely prefer to be in their own homeland as opposed to living as refugees in another foreign country if they were to be given stability, if someone can guarantee them stability. And also you find this in yourself. He said when you're traveling back home, even if you were residing in one of the most major cities in the world, even if you go back to your tiny village, there's this feeling of looking forward to returning home. Even if you go into a place which no one knows about, it's insignificant, but this is your home. So this sense of stability that the Shaykh was referring to. If stability, however, leaves, then the people there will live a life of fear, deficiency, hunger. And the people of the fire, if they were able to leave, if they were given the chance to leave, then they would leave. But one of the elements which multiplies their agony is that they will have istiqrar in Jahannam. The people of Jannah will have istiqrar in Jannah. The people of Jahannam will have istiqrar in Jahannam. وَقَالُوا يَا مَالِكَ لِيَقْضِ عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكَ قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُونَ. And they will call on to Malik, the gatekeeper of Jahannam, and they will say, لِيَقْضِ عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكَ, let your Lord destroy us. And the ulama say, after thousands of years, he will answer just to say to them, إِنَّكُمْ Makithun, you shall remain. Meaning stability in Jahannam. You're not going to leave. So this is an element of agony for the people of Jahannam over the agony which they will be suffering from. Allah says, Jahannam yaslawnaha wa bi'sal qarar. Again, all of these are derived from the same root word. Istiqrar, yastaqir, mustaqarran, qarar. They're all from the same root word. The people of Jahannam, they will taste Jahannam, وَبِئْسَ الْقَرَارِ, what an evil place of remaining, or an evil abode. It's really usually translated as abode. إِنَّهَا سَاءَتْ مُسْتَقَرًا وَمُقَامًا in Surah Al-Furqan. It's an evil place of abode and remaining. And they will never be taken out. This virtuous, blessed bounty of istiqrar is one of the things, one of the first things which Allah Azza wa Jalla, and the most major pillars which Allah gave to Adam alayhi salatu salam when he was descended to the earth in order to live and survive upon earth. So Allah said subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَقُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ. And we said, descend thereof, you will be enemies to one another. The ulama differed about who is this speech being addressed to. Is it the shayateen with the humans, or is it the humans amongst each other? The ulama have differed on the interpretation. وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَى حِينٍ. And then you will have in the land a place of stability, a place of, you know, livelihood. وَمَتَاعٌ, and pleasure, entertainment, إِلَى حِينٍ, until a predestined time. So then this is the place where before eating, before drinking, before getting clothed, one needs to settle down. And even you try, if you've moved from one apartment to another, when you move from one apartment to another, it takes you some time to settle down in a new place. And even the lunch and the dinner you have seems tasteless. You just, you know, everything is mixed up, your furniture is all over the place, you haven't really moved in, even your life is not normal. Until you settle down and you get used to the place, then you feel that you're back in order. Yeah, and even moving within apartments, you can sense the feeling of instability and how it affects you. You get late to work the first few days, You may eat different kind of food. You may, I mean, it affects you psychologically and otherwise, and physically. When istiqrar, when it was some one of the most important elements of life, it was given precedence over many different things, or before different things. And Allah Azza wa Jal made mention of that in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Al-Mulk, and in two different places in Surah Al-A'raf. So the people will know how important stability is for them to be able to survive both in the worldly life and in the religious life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, for example, upon His bounties on the human beings, وَهُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ فَمُسْتَقَرٌ وَمُسْتَوْدَعٌ. It is He who created you from a single soul. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, mustaqar meaning a place where you remain on earth, mustawda' in the grave. This mustawda' is from a storage, by the way. It's like a storage. You stored in earth. Mustaqar, you're stable on earth. From among the necessities of stability is that the person owns his own land. And he takes care of the creation, like animals and what have you, that Allah Azza wa Jal has, you know, created for him. وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مِنْهِ. Allah has made, had subdued to you everything upon in the heavens and in the earth. All of them are from Allah. The animals and things which we take care of. So that's why you find that the human being, Allah made everything in the oceans and on land under the protection, under the guidance of the human being. Even if you have 100 camels, if you tie them all in ropes, a young boy will lead them, left or right. Otherwise you think 100 camels will kill the boy, any boy. It happens sometimes. But generally speaking, human beings are the ones in charge and taking care of the animals. It is not the other way around. It is not the other way around. And this is from the concept of istiqrar. In the second khutbah, the Shaykh said, know that everything is according to Allah's decree and for a wisdom which He intends, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all these fitan, all these tribulations and trials which we see on earth today, are not exception to the fact that it's something which Allah Azza wa Jal has pre-decreed. And it is part of His command. أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ. Verily to Allah belongs the creation and the command. تبارك الله رب العالمين. Blessed is Allah, the Lord of everything. So everything is either the creation of Allah or the command of Allah. The Quran is the command of Allah, for example. So because of the importance of stability, Islam then came with teachings which close the door in front of anything which may remove stability. Anything which may unstabilize the situation and the condition of the people, Islam put a block, can't go, in order to ensure stability for the people. Then he struck a few examples, one of which is, in order to maintain stability, the agreement of the Muslims, اجتماع الكلمة, يعني all of us having a similar direction, being like-minded as opposed to differing on different issues. Of course, some are more grave than others. And abandonment or the prohibition of differing and division. Because division leads to sectarianism and it leads to death. And this happens among groups in Islam. I mean, groups among the Muslims, we've heard of people from this masjid who follow this jama'ah, go to another masjid who follows another jama'ah and burn their masjid down and kill the people in the masjid, thinking that they're doing something good for the sake of Allah. And all of them are Muslims because they differ on some issues. This happens. Whenever there's sectarianism, there's death, there's killing. Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ. Continue the ayat, ya jama'at al-khair. Don't be shy. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبِّ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold on to the rope of Allah all together, جَمِيعًا. جَمَاعًا, جَمِيعًا, all of them are the same, all together. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, and do not divide. This is a prohibition in Islam. We should come together upon the truth. Pay attention. Now you don't bring a Shi'i, say, come stand next to me. Now I'm not going to stand next to you until you abandon your nonsense, your cursing of the Sahaba, your belittlement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his wives, and all of the nonsense which you're upon. When you abandon that, come, I will stand next to you upon the truth. But we don't stand with people upon falsehood, because this ummah will not agree upon falsehood. So pay attention, even when we call for unity, it is not that everyone with all of their junk and innovations come together. It's not going to happen. Because the Sahaba were not given the victory over the rest until they united upon the truth. And once they started differing, then the mulk and the sovereignty of the Muslims was taken away from them, according to their division and deviation from the truth. So we must return to the truth, all of us together, then we unite upon it. That's why you find the ulama, when they interpret the hadith of jama'ah, anytime the word jama'ah comes in the hadith, upon you is the jama'ah, they don't translate it or explain it as the masses of Muslims. Because you may go to some countries where the masses of Muslims are grave worshippers. In the Middle East, for example. The masses of people there may be grave worshippers. We say, this is a jama'ah. They say the jama'ah are the ulama. The jama'ah are the scholars. Even if they're 10. And anyone who follows them on that truth, this is the jama'ah. It could be small in number. But they're upon the truth. It's not about numbers. Otherwise today the numbers are against us. Against us. So we have to be very careful in interpreting these textual evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah. And we must refer to the scholars to adequately understand them. Then, in another ayah Allah says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ تَفَرَّقُوا وَاخْتَلَفُوا and do not be like those who then differed, then divided. Prohibiting the division of the Muslims. The Prophet ﷺ said, يَدُ اللَّهِ مَعَ الْجَمَاعَةِ The hand of Allah is with the jama'ah. And we said, the jama'ah is the body of Muslims upon the truth. It could be a million, 10 million, half a million, 2,000, Allahu A'lam. We don't know numbers. Whoever adheres to the truth, Quran and the Sunnah, according to the understanding of our righteous predecessors, this is the jama'ah of the Muslims. The number is unimportant. In another hadith, among the other means of attaining istiqrar, the first one we said, unity, lack of division. The second one is avoiding fitan. Avoiding fitna. Tribulations in all of its kinds and manifestations. And not allowing them in. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ السَّعِيد لَمَنْ جُنِّبَ الْفِتَنِ Who is the happy? Who will be the happy, content, satisfied one? Is the one who avoids fitan. Is the one who avoids fitan. And he said that three times, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he said, and the one who has been tried with fitan, but he remains patient. These are the ones who will be happy. The Shaykh said, and some people will think that I have enough iman. I have enough iman to help me avoid fitna. And that if it comes to him, it won't affect him. He said, this is not the case. Because his heart may absorb this fitna without even him paying attention. The evidence for that is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who warned us against the fitna of Dajjal. The Dajjal. How would we translate Dajjal to English? Dajjal. Why? Wait a second. No, Habibi. Translation is part of the deen. Ya Shaykh, tawul balaka. That's, you misunderstood my question. Brother, it's my fault that I asked the question. We're supposed to, be flexible, akhi. Allah yahdik. Anyways, akhwan, Dajjal from Dajjal. And Dajjal is lies. Dajjal is a liar. But can you just say the liar, the liar, the liar? No. Because even the linguistic meaning Dajjal in Islam has an Islamic definition. The whole deen is like that. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِن رَّسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ We have never sent a messenger except with the tongue of his people so he may explain and clarify to them. This is part of the deen, my brother. Dajjal is the false messiah. because some people call him the Antichrist. And that translation is not sound. The false Messiah, because he will claim, he will pretend to be the given, you know, the Messiah and the qualities of the Messiah by giving life to the dead and what have you. So the ulama translated in this particular fashion. Dajjal is the one who we all know who he is. But in da'wah, you need to use other words in order to explain to the people what's cooking, specifically the non-Muslims. Ala kulli hal, with the fitna of the Dajjal, what did he say to the Muslims? When you see him, go and meet with him? No. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, in the hadith, whoever hears about the Dajjal, just hearing about him, فَلْيَنْأَ عَنْهُ, avoid him and run away from him. Avoid him and run away from him. He said, wallahi, a man will come to him, to the Dajjal, thinking in himself, he's a believer. And he will wind up following him because of the many doubts which the Dajjal will cast in the minds of people. Yani someone will go there with confidence, I'm a mu'min, I know already. And because of the many shubuhat, the doubts he will cast in the minds of people, this person who went there, thinking he will avoid him, will wind up following him. So we were taught then that you memorize the first 10 ayat of Surah Al-Kahf. In another narration, the last 10 ayat of Surah Al-Kahf. We have more than one narration. So the ulama say you memorize the first 10 ayat and the last 10 ayat. You might as well memorize the whole surah if you read it every Jumu'ah. Because these will protect you from the Dajjal bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal. And we know he can't go to Medina, he can't go to Makkah, ila akhiri. The bottom line is, even if you hear about him and you think you have enough iman, the Prophet ﷺ said what? Run away from him. Avoid him so you will not fall into his trap. So the scholars say, if this is concerning the fitna, which is manifest and evident. Yeah, and you know two people will differ that the Dajjal is a fitna. He said, what about the fitna which is ambiguous? What about the fitna which the people cannot see? Then you should avoid it even more so. And if you remember in the previous khutbah translations, this is exactly what we were trying to repeat over and over again. There's fitna. And we don't want to get involved. Because look at what's happening to the world right now. Because of this fitna. So alhamdulillah, we avoided it, and we ask Allah to continue to guide us to avoid all kinds of fitna. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, means to attain stability is holding on to the jama'ah of the Muslims. Holding on to the jama'ah and not disobeying the ruler. Holding on to the jama'ah and not disobeying the ruler. The Prophet ﷺ told the Sahaba that fitan will be all over and there will be callers to Jahannam. People will be calling people to Jahannam. So Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about what is it that he's supposed to do. He told him alayhi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, تَلْتَزِمْ جَمَاعَةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَإِمَامَهُمْ. You hold on, you stick to the group, the body of Muslims and their imam. You don't go out against them. You don't become one of the khawarij. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam further commanded that we should be patient at the time. He said to the Sahaba, verily you will see after me favoritism. Yani people favoring themselves over their brothers in Islam. He said, and things which you will dislike, you will see after me. Favoritism as opposed to loving for your brother what you love for yourself. You love for yourself what you don't love for your brother. And things which you will dislike, things which will displease you. So they said, O Messenger of Allah, what do you command us to do? He said, give the people in charge what their rights and ask Allah for your rights. People in charge who may take and favor themselves over you. What do we do, O Messenger of Allah? Give them their rights and ask Allah for yours. Didn't say go out and riot and revolt against them, so the next thing you know, Muslims are dying in the streets and now foreign countries have come for the aid of these Muslims, and you know what that aid will result in. You know the long-term plan for the involvement of the coalition and the foreign forces. This is a pre-planned situation. What opened the door for it is this fitna, which we have been telling the brothers, leave it alone. Leave it alone. Stay at home. Don't go out. Don't scream. Don't riot. Don't protest. Don't demonstrate. This is not part of Islam. They don't listen. And we ask Allah to protect us from the consequences. At-Tirmidhi narrated in a hadith, Hasanun Sahih, that the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever sees among his ruler something which he hates, let him be patient. Let him be patient. Because whosoever abandons the jama'ah, he goes against the ruler and the Muslims, and he dies, he would have died a death of ignorance. Very dangerous hadith. If you see something you dislike, zip it and be patient. If you wind up going out against them and causing division and you die in this state, your death is not shahada fi sabilillah, is nothing that you are praised for, it is the death of jahiliyyah. This is all warning from this division which is taking place. The last means to attain stability is avoiding anything which causes the hearts to differ. This happened to us right now, wal-iyadu billah. Anything which causes the hearts to differ and the statements to differ, avoid it all the way. We ask Allah to help us do so. Because we will not be able to have stability until we have an agreement. And we just had a form of instability because of a little, differences in opinions. You see how easy the shaitan gets in and tries to ruin it. Division. Maybe half of the masjid will say, yes, he's right. And the other half will say, no, he's right. And we will not like each other the next Friday. Right or wrong? Because of an opinion. Because of an opinion. So we need to be very delicate in our approach and ask Allah to help me do so. I don't want to be a reason of fitna. So the Shaykh said, now everyone is supposed to strive to stability. Whether you are a citizen of this country, I don't see anyone here, or you are an expatriate, which is the condition for most of us, all of us should strive towards stability. Because we are envied. In this country, Muslims are envied. It's the only country, wallahu a'lam, that seems to have a peace of mind and you can go about your business every day without having to fear for your life. As opposed to what's happening to all Muslim countries, Gulf countries and otherwise. So we need to work together. Instability in all its various manifestations. The Shaykh told me this before he went into the back. He said he didn't mention this in the wording, but stability at home, emotional stability, financial stability, psychological stability, economical stability, all kinds of stabilities, we should strive towards them so that we may maintain our situation and that Allah Azza wa Jal will protect the people here from the fitan which have engulfed the Muslim world and the non-Muslim world. And that was it. He ended the khutbah with a dua for Allah to protect the Muslims. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.